this is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France. And I am talking with David Tolman. David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jeff. I can hear you well.
Thank you. And where are you, David?
I'm in Morlaix.
What part of France is that?
I'm in Brittany. I'm on the northern coast of Brittany. So for people in the south of France, they think, ooh, it's probably pretty cold up there. But the climate is actually very mild. A little bit like Seattle, if people know what that's like. It has a reputation for a lot of rain, but the coast is really, really beautiful. And we moved here, you're probably going to ask why we moved here, because I lived in Lyon, which is the second or third biggest city in France. We just couldn't figure out how to buy an apartment there and pay it off before we died. I didn't want to be retired and still paying more money than I could afford for an apartment. So around in Lyon for about a year. I talked to bankers who would conceal their laughter for what we wanted to pay and where we wanted to live, and we just couldn't make it work.
How long have you been in France for?
So I've been in France for almost 10 years now. I listened to some of your other podcasts, and I'm a little bit different from some of the people in that I'm like you. I'm an American person who's married to a French lady. And so we've been here for 10 years. We got here in 2003.
Now, let's talk a little bit about finding a job in France and starting a new career. What was your experience with that, with a career move and starting over in France? Or did you start over in France?
Well, I feel that I did start over in a way. Here's what happened. In the U.S., I had kind of a business degree in economics and got good jobs right out of college, doing fine and making enough money to live and to own a house and this type of thing. And then I had I switched and went to work for my parents who have car dealerships. So I had a job where I was managing a car dealership for 3 or 4 years. Had a lot of responsibilities, and I wanted to go on and learn more about starting a business because I'd always had a dream of starting my own business. And so I started this business called Fluent French Audio, which still has a website. When I first started it, I was still in the U.S. I worked on it for 2 or 3 years, and then my wife and I decided to move to France, and I could at the time because I was just working out of the house. So we moved to France, and I kept on working on it. And then after maybe another 3 or 4 years, I started to get worried that even though I was making a living, I wasn't making enough of a living to feel comfortable that I could go on to retirement.
So your business was, or still is, in fact, helping people learn French.
Right. But then what happened is I'm in a situation where I live in France, and we wanted to stay here because we liked the atmosphere for the kids, and it would have made, going back to the U.S. would have made my wife redo a third career change in her life, which she wasn't as interested in doing because she had redone her career here when she came to France. She's set up, right? She has a career. What I had to do was figure out what I was going to do here in France. And what I ran into in France is this. In France, and it's probably the same way in the U.S., the employer wants to know what skills you have, and if you have technical skills that are hard to develop, that's the type of skills that make you the most employable. And I didn't have any because I had been a business manager and a business owner, and when you do that, you're a part-time web developer and you're a part-time accountant. You're a jack of all trades. And what I found out was that in France, I was not a specialist in anything.
What you're kind of saying is that in France, you have to be a specialist.
Well, it's definitely helpful on the job market. Let's say if someone's considering moving to France and they're in the U.S. still, or in England maybe, and they have a general background, they may have a hard time coming to France and getting a job right away. They may want to say, what technical skill could I get in the U.S. before I come to France? What could make you more employable in France is simply, for example, knowing how to enter orders into a specific software system. Like there's a software system I work on called SAP.
It's a specialty that you learned.
Well, what I did was, in France, what's nice is if you go to and sign up for the ANTE.
Now the Pôle Emploi. It changed the name.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, they changed the name. Tell me what it is again, Jeff, you say?
Pôle Emploi.
This is the government agency that tries to help you find a job. You sign up with them, and then they'll help you try to find a job. And I had what's called a bilan de compétence. Yeah, they try to help you look at your skills. So what I did is I kind of looked at what I could do, and I was interested in helping install accounting systems and working with software because I had to do a little bit of that. Like I say, I was a jack of all trades. And I thought, well, I know a lot about that, and maybe other companies need people who can do that. And then it went from there. I found out what I needed to do to get in on the ground level. And that's what was tough for me was when I went back into the job market, I had to start out on the ground level again. I had a hard time finding a job, a very hard time. I would say I had a hard time finding a job because I put in a lot of resumes, sent a lot of resumes to a lot of people. After a month, I found one, but it was a minimum wage job.
When I was looking for work too, I had the same problem.
So my experience finding work was I had to decide what I was going to do, and I also had to decide if I was going to stay in France. Could I work in this country? Since I was just outside of Paris at the time, I was only 30 minutes by train from Paris. I looked around to see what I could do right away to just make money right away. So I got a job as a English teacher in Paris, and that was easy to find. And it was easy to get the job because they were excited to find somebody who had some business background who could work with professionals who had to learn English for their job. And I also got lucky and found a great company. That was a lot of fun, and that also taught me that I could stand to work for other companies again and go to Paris if I needed to.
What's so important about the word bonjour?
When you go into a shop, for example, in France, if it's a small shop, I'm not talking about a big apartment store, but if it's a small shop like a bakery, you need to say bonjour when you walk in. And then if you go to a store like a Decathlon, which is a big sports store here in the U.S. and in France, you'll notice even that if you just go up and ask a question, they will interrupt you almost and say bonjour before they give you the answer, which reminds you, you should have said bonjour first. When you talk to a person in France, if it's on the phone, if it's in the administration where you have to go into a government office and speak to them, wait. As an English speaker, you probably practiced your question, right? You made up your question, you wrote that thing down, you practiced it, you said, I'm going to go in and I'm going to ask this question. So you forget to say bonjour first, but it's really important. It shows that you're a polite person. When you're working, like where I work now, and I walk in and I go around to every single person who's already there and say bonjour. And I either shake their hand if they're a man, or, and for a couple of the women, I shake their hand. And for the other ladies, I give them the bees, the kiss on the cheek. But every morning, I say bonjour to everybody, because the people who are already there, I go around and say bonjour. And then the people who get there after me, they come and say bonjour. Everybody does that to every person in the office every day.
That's very important. I think it is. Because in America, we would ask how somebody is. And in France, you never ask how somebody is if they're a stranger. But you have to, in France, say bonjour. You have to say good day. Otherwise, we've made a faux pas. What would be your suggestions for anybody learning French? If you're fluent, how did you get fluent? What was your secret? Because I've heard you speak, your pronunciation is really good.
Well, thanks. I think I do have a secret that I've seen a few other people mentioned, and my secret is this. It is that, and it's not a well-known secret. I'll say that there are two types of listening. There is the listening you do when you are listening to radio or someone speak at a party. You're listening to the material for the first time, and you are just scrambling like a hamster on a wheel trying to keep up. That's listening for comprehension, to try to follow the conversation and to answer. But there's another type of listening that will help your ear, and that you take a recording. If you could record a little bit of radio off the internet, if you can take the same recording of maybe 12 minutes of sound and just listen to that over and over and over. The way I really became fluent in French, I came to France for a year when I was 21 and really as a college student and really learned to finally understand most things. But it's after I went back to the U.S. and then had my first job, I had a 20-minute drive to work. I had a bunch of tapes of French radio that my girlfriend, who now is my wife, had made for me. I listened to those tapes over the course of a year, hundreds of times, short tapes. And I learned to listen and try to repeat after the speaker. There's a feedback loop between your mouth and your ear that as a child, when you hear your parents and you speak, I think there's a feedback loop that helps you adjust the way you speak to what you hear. I think it makes your ear more sensitive to those sounds that are coming. Because a lot of the problem, I was told this as a student when I came here by an Italian teacher who was telling us foreigners, when I came to Lyon as a student, he was telling the foreigners, listen, you will never be able to speak French until you can hear French correctly. It's the ear first, and then the speaking comes after the ear.
So what you're kind of saying is that there's two kinds of listening. There's comprehension listening, and then kind of the nuance of the language listening. And that
when you listen to something for the first time, you are scrambling to keep up. When you listen to someone something the second time, you're still scrambling to keep up. But when you listen the 10th time, you remember already what has been said, and you know what's coming, and you can concentrate on the actual sound.
What would be your suggestions for somebody thinking of moving to France?
Well, the important thing is, what's going to be your income? You had one other speaker on one of the previous podcasts who said, make sure you can get a job. I would say, I would worry about that, getting a job, and I would almost say, think about, do you really have to move to France quickly and take big risks, or could you maybe come here two or three times over the course of a year before you actually move, and spend a week or two going into the temporary employment agencies, the people that hire temp people for companies looking for short-term work. Can you go into there, these temp agencies, or look on their websites and see what they need and say, listen, here's my resume. I don't speak French fluently yet, but here's what I can do in the U.S. Do you think if I came here, do you think you would have work for me? Do you think I'd find work? Ask them does your skill set match what they need? I would say probably, though, don't worry too much if they say no, because I think when you first get here and you show them your resume, they're going to say no, it doesn't match. But it's because you don't know about some of the specialized temp agencies. Like I ran into one in Paris, a specialized temp agency who was placing English speakers into secretarial jobs where the person needed to speak English. So they had some stuff that didn't really fit exactly for me, but they had some stuff that was interesting for me. They sent me to a couple of interviews just because there's a lot of companies in France who need English speakers, and the French speak English. It's very common for especially young French people to speak English, but not well enough to really deal with one of the reasons I have my current job is because my company has customers in the Netherlands where the people speak French they speak English so well. I'm amazed at how well these people speak English. But the French don't speak English well enough to really work with these people from Denmark. But I would say if you have a technical skill or a professional skill, let's say you're a CPA or a lawyer or an engineer, I would say take a couple of times to come over on little exploratory trips and see who you can meet and just ask the good questions. The kind of things that you would find in that book, What Color Is My Parachute, which I assume is still being published, where one of the big recommendations is just go meet people and without asking for a job, say, what do you think about a person with my resume? And then you redo your resume to highlight the things that you need. That's what I had to do. I had to go from a resume that was linear, which showed what I'd done on the different jobs, and I had to redo my resume to show what I could do in the type of skill I was trying to market. So I had three different resumes talking about the three different things I could do, and I talked about the skills I could do, and my resume was organized in terms of skills without really talking about where I'd worked, because the French don't like it when you've jumped around a lot. I think they see that as being not creative, but more like being unstable.
That might be changing a little bit, but it's true. A lot of people, and I think just in general in France, that the job you had when you learned as a teenager that you went to school for is a job that, it's expected, or it was expected, that was a job you'd do for the rest of your life.
And I started back at the bottom. I worked at a minimum wage job for 18 months. I'd gone from the U.S. where I had a pretty impressive job title, and I had 13 employees, and then I had my own company, and then I went to making €1,000 a month take home and taking the bus back and forth to work, and I did that for 18 months, but that gave me, I knew what I was trying to do, and I turned out to be right, that gave me an entry into this accounting system and into the accounting area.
David, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to you, Jeff, and I think what you're doing to help people figure out how to move to France and how to be comfortable here is a really good thing. I've enjoyed the podcast, so keep doing it.